Welcome to the Rivanna Rambler. This is Leslie Middleton, and I invite you to explore with me the landscapes of the Rivanna watershed and beyond, from the Blue Ridge down to the Chesapeake Bay. This, our watershed community. She fairly coos at them, these bugs. These tiny aquatic insects who, in their larval stages, can reveal much about the health of the river. Rose Brown, volunteer coordinator for Streamwatch, is my companion for the morning at Rivanna Mills down in Fluvanna County. The overflow chute of the old mill is now a shallow cobble-filled channel below the rapid that was once the dam. It is here that we've grabbed our sample, set up our table, and are culling through a net full of results. "I see you," Rose says to a healthy-sized stonefly that's crawling through the wet debris away from her blue plastic forceps, which are poised to snatch, ever so gently, the bug and place it in a white plastic ice cube tray filled with water and used for counting the specimens. I, too, am talking to them. "Here you go," and "There you are," especially the caddisflies, and of these, especially the more exotic casemakers. And it is hard not to talk to them, for once you have seen the elegant homes that the long-haired casemaker crafts out of detritus from the bottom of the river, you are likely to think of these tiny insects as worthy of respect, if not conversation, however one-sided it might be. One by one, I find individuals of this family of caddisfly in slender, tapered cases, the length of my fingernail, attached to the dark green filamentous branches of pondweed that came up in the sample net along with leaves, bugs, clams, and a few snails. The larva builds this case from small pieces of plants, fine particles of sand and rock, and the pure silk that it excretes from its mouth parts. This portable case is its protection during the larval stage, and like other caddisflies, its sanctuary during the metamorphosis into adulthood. The river is low, and though the last rainfall was 3 nights ago, it is still cloudy with sediment. Though only a foot or two deep in most places, I could barely see the bottom as we paddled down here by canoe. The owner of the farm where we put in reported gobs of algae growing at the small launching beach, and while we saw little of this as we paddled miles downstream, the water felt thick, and we had to navigate around dense mats of common waterweed. Everywhere, bugs were swarming, evidence of recent and prolific hatches. So perhaps it is no surprise that we have an equally prolific net full of bugs, all told over 500. And that a good many of them are caddises. And new to me on this trip are the micro-caddisflies, their cases, tiny oblong orbs, smaller than a grain of rice, fashioned from sand and detritus. Through a hand lens, I can see the tiny head and forelegs emerge first at one end and then at the other. This casemaker lives its fifth and final larval stage almost entirely within the case and accommodates the growth of its body parts by cutting along the bottom seam of the purse-like structure, adding material to both sides, and then gluing the two halves back together again. While we cull and count, Rose and I share our experiences of learning to love the bugs. For each of us, it took several tries, sessions poring over the contents of nets with simple field references in hand to distinguish the aquatic stonefly from the mayfly, learning the dragonfly from the dobsonfly from the blackfly, persevering, going out with experienced samplers, and above all, taking the time to watch the critters, magnified with the hand lens, crawling on my palm in a small puddle of water. This is what eventually came to captivate me. The next stage for me, and the one that I suspect will be lifelong, is understanding the life cycle, how they mate and eat, and how they transform into life above the water's surface, where in swarms they signal to fishermen, while at the same time they tantalize the fish. Caddisflies are diverse in their habitat preference and eating habits, but most are scrapers of some kind, removing their food from surfaces of rock and cobble, leaves of plants, and strands of algae. many species are considered facultative, meaning they occur in waters from pristine to moderately disturbed and are often found in abundance where there has been a moderate disturbance of some kind. The science of using the relative abundance, or lack thereof, to predict water quality is what has been used in the upper stretches of the Rivanna in Albemarle County, which are now considered biologically impaired. In other words, not meeting standards for supporting a rich and diverse assortment of aquatic life. Counting bugs with StreamWatch is one way to keep tabs on the health of the Rivanna. It's also just plain fun. This is Leslie Middleton. Please join me next week at this same time for another installment of the Rivanna Rambler. If you have questions or comments about this show, please call 924-0885 or visit wtju.net.